Hey there, welcome back to the Publisher Lab. I'm one of your hosts, Anthony Moore, and today I have with me a very special guest, Terrence Timmons. Hey, Terrence.
Hey, how's it going, Anthony?
Terrence is a genius here at Ezoic. He's one of our business intelligence analysts. He's literally a professional at intelligence, so a lot of brain power over here. And we wanted to have you on to kind of talk more about a lot of issues today and just get your expertise to publishers about what they can do with intelligence, with analytics, and kind of what you've seen for many years here at Ezoic on how publishers can do this. So just real quickly, can you kind of talk about what you do and like what your expertise is and kind of what publishers should know about your field?
Yeah, of course. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, Anthony. Really appreciate it. So I am a business intelligence analyst here at Ezoic. And basically what that entails is I go out and look at data and I find patterns in that data. And then from those patterns, I derive business insights and then share it to my team or department. So whether it be things like, you know, what settings work the best for your website, you know, how much revenue does the setting make, and then I'll share that insight to the team, and then we'll promote it within the team. Also, on the individual site level, I'm really I've spent a lot of time in our analytics telling publishers, hey, you know, this article makes this much money, this content strategy is doing this, or whether just analyzing their audiences, hey, you know, get to know your customer a little bit, locations, pages, and all of that. Yeah, I worked here for over 4 years. Quick background is graduated from UC Santa Barbara with a bachelor's in mathematics and a minor in statistics. This was my first job out of college and love the people here, love the product, and it's been great so far.
Nice. And you're also a publisher too. So you've also been making content. You kind of know what it's like to be a publisher as well.
Yeah, I have a couple sites that I run. Some of our personal projects, one has to do with apples, and other ones are acquisitions I've made. So definitely understand the both sides of being on the inside on Ezoic, but also what it's like to be a publisher and how to, you know, get Google to like your site.
Totally. Yeah. Well, so that being said, Terrence knows a lot about this. And as a publisher myself for a long time, I spent years trying to get things going. Nothing ever worked. And the one thing that kind of got me going was a very basic data analysis of my content, where it's like I'd write, you know, 10 articles a month on like five different topics. And at the end of the month, I'd say, what is getting the most traffic? And it's like, it seems to be these topics. And I'll kind of double down on that. It was like this kind of breadcrumb trail of like, maybe follow this. And over time, I was actually using data to make decisions. And then I got way more views and things really kind of took off from there. So that's what I understand you do a lot of. You like really kind of do that at a high level. Telling publishers how to follow the data, how to find the right data in big data analytics. There's like dozens of really important categories and reports and like things you can track basically everything. And the publishers know how to look at that the right way. They can see huge results potentially in the future.
And just speaking like really high level about our analytics, it basically is every data point that flows through your site, we will present it and visualize it for the publisher. And that is really powerful. However, at the same time, because it's so much data, it's really granular. So it could take some time to parse what's important and what's not important. So a lot has to do with audience, content, and also ad performance, and looking at why you make less money from users in, you know, a different country compared to the United States. Like things like those that are really important to running a website.
Well, I'm so glad you're on the show so we can talk all about that. So we have a couple news updates for the show, and then we're going to talk with Terrence more about his advice to publishers, anyone watching this, what you can really learn from a business intelligence analyst here at Ezoic. But first, there's been some interesting AI updates, as there is every single week nowadays, seems like, for how Google and search and AI is affecting publishers. And this week, Google announced that generative AI is now going to be coming to search in the form that advertisers can use AI to make ads. Now, this is a big deal for lots of reasons. You know, 2023, in the past, even like 10, 15 years ago, the only people making ads were like really big professional agencies. It cost a ton of money, a whole big studio and a video team and script writers, all the stuff to like make, like, you know, like a TV commercial or like even small graphics on website ads. A lot of work in that. Over time, it's gotten easier and easier for creatives to, you know, use consumer tools like Adobe Creator or even, you know, Canva to like make decent ads, whatnot, kind of plug it in. Now it's becoming even easier for marketers and advertisers to create ads. And so they can now, and they're just beginning to be able to use AI to create ads. So Terrence, you're a publisher. You have been working with intelligence for a long time, especially how ad rates and like the fluctuating ad market can affect publishers. What do you kind of think about this ease of use, this kind of like cheaper cost and more widespread use of ads coming to websites? And what should publishers know about maybe a new flood of different kind of ads coming to their sites?
Yeah, it's a great question. So just to start, I like to think about where ads started and where they are now today. So, you know, you think back in the day where we got the newspaper, right? You have a whole press, news press to get an ad on the newspaper. And now we're on the website. Well, it basically, the process is being automated. Mm-hmm. So more and more elements of what people or what marketers do to create ads is just getting automated. So the cost of that creation is going to drop. What means is these marketing agencies will probably have less overhead. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably be smaller teams, but they can scale faster too. Mm. So I would expect to be a lot more different companies coming into the space doing ads. A lot more smaller parties will be able to scale up their ads faster too. Like think of like, you know, you're a publisher and you have a brand and you can advertise on Instagram or TikTok. It is now so incredibly cheap and easy for just you as an individual to go out there and use these AI tools that are coming out to scale an ad campaign. You know, you could be like a one-man show now. So that's the big thing I see. So I would expect the cost to drop. However, I would not expect the total spend on advertising to drop. Mm-hmm. People are still going to spend money on ads, and I still think that's going to be the same regardless. Mm-hmm. People just want to spend money on ads to get their message out to sell product, right? Yeah. So I don't think that will change. However, I just think it's going to be way more efficient than it is right now.
I agree. I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of new kinds of ads coming out, and a lot of people who weren't able to create ads or who were kind of hesitant to really put money into creative graphics, whatnot, having more to work with, where you can just plug in, you know, like Google Works, where it can kind of like scan your site for the products you have, for your taglines, for your color schemes, whatnot, and it can give you lots of different ideas for ads, and you can kind of pick and pull there. You could even just kind of like ChatGPT isn't like the best novel writer, but it can give you like a decent outline for it that you can work with. So in the same way, this AI system that Google has can give you a decent outline for an ad, which smaller publishers, small businesses, whatever can use and spend more money on advertising than actually creating the ads. So there's a lot of different activity coming on for publishers that they might not have even seen yet. Yep. And do you have any other ideas for like what that might look like in the next 3 to 6 months and how publishers could maybe kind of prepare for that now, knowing that there's new activity coming, new ads coming, new different kinds of ads, maybe for publishers who are kind of hesitant to like try out different kinds of ads like vignettes or different kind of floating things? What would you recommend they do to kind of prepare for this new development?
Yeah, it's a great question. And my advice to publishers right now would be try as many different ad formats as possible, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the traditional formats, you see like a 300 by 250 ad size, right? That's a very traditional ad size on a website. Well, since it's historically been the most popular, it might still be, but new ad types are now going to come into the market, right? So a vignette is basically a multi-size ad that shows in between a page load.
Right.
Now, that multi-size gives the advertiser a ton of creativity with their ad format, right? Mm. So but the point is, since you're going to have more and more advertisers come into the market faster, then you as a publisher, if you want to increase your revenue from ads, should be open to trying as many different ad formats as possible to see what works for your site. Then, you know, just enable everything would be my first guess, and then go into analytics and see what ad positions are working the best for your site.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Maybe you have one site where native performance isn't very good, right? People aren't clicking, but the impression-based bidding is working really well on your site. And our analytics help you show that. I did want to touch on the point a little bit about Google's new Performance Max on here. Mm-hmm. They said that you're going to use machine learning to automatically optimize the bids and placements of sites. Basically, this tells me they're going to go to a performance-based system, right? Everything will be performance-driven. So if advertisers see bad performance, they're going to change and adapt on the fly to basically get the most performance. Luckily, with Azoic, with all of our ad types, we've always been a performance-driven network. And because we've been performance driven, it's going to play nice into how our system interacts with the new ads coming in.
Yeah. Do you think publishers could expect that from a lot of different places, or is it a pretty unique kind of a tool that we can give publishers being that flexible and performance driven?
I believe since we are at its core a performance based platform, right? We have mediation, which helps you optimize for click-based bidding. Mm-hmm. We also run through Google Ad Exchange, which is impression-based bidding. So since we can optimize for both types, I think that will give us our publishers an edge in monetizing sites rather than just have one single source of, you know, type of bidding on a site. And all the different tools and optimizations, I think, is the best way to monetize with ads today.
I agree. I think the call to action here is use big data analytics to see this for yourself. There's a lot of potential there, and we're seeing more stuff happening in just these coming weeks and months.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could talk all day about that, and I want to, but we have to kind of keep going on here. So the next topic I wanted to kind of talk about is some new developments in SEO and Google. And Google is just such a fascinating company with an ideology where they have this really important thing, Google Search, and they very rarely publicly reveal information on how they do things, on what's true and what's not. And so there's a lot of like, there's whole industries based on what people think Google is doing. So just a couple of days ago, Google revealed publicly some more information about their topic authority system, which is not new. This is not some new metric they have just unveiled yesterday. They've been using it for years, but they actually kind of talk more about what that means and what that is, especially for publishers who are in news-based industries, things like healthcare, finance, sports, anything where like news can like have
yeah,
like
the news
politics. Are, yeah. A lot of like publishers, both big and small, are reporting on a lot of very timely things like day-to-day stuff, week-to-week stuff, news sites especially. And Google is talking about what this topic authority system really means. And so here's what they kind of revealed in this press release. It's not new, and it's focusing on helping local publishers and small publishers. I know that a lot of these other publishers aren't getting millions of views a week yet. And so there's a lot of potential, though, for these local and smaller publishers to still be recognized on the same caliber as like big national news sources and like these like big general news sites, because local publishers are so good at what they do and they actually have real information. They talk about examples like if there was like a flood happening in like your certain area, or if you report on like a certain sports team, it's like if you're there, Google is going to look at you differently and look at you equally in some cases as very, very, very big sites. So I kind of want to hear your thoughts from an analytics perspective here. A lot of publishers are trying to game SEO and figure it out, and they're not seeing a lot of results yet. And so if you're a news site, if you're trying to kind of run with the big dogs, if you're trying to really get a lot of traffic, what can they kind of do knowing this new topic authority system is looking at publishers in this field in certain ways? How can they kind of beef up their site and use their metrics, use their analytics to try and be recognized as much as possible by Google?
Yeah. So this is actually a huge talking point with publishers right now. And basically how we see it internally here, or I talk with our SEO specialist a lot, Robert, the main thing is Google wants to know who is the publisher. They want to know if they're trustworthy, what's their authoritative, how authoritative are they, what's their expertise on the matter. So when it comes to local news or local publishing, Google basically wants to know if you are an expertise for this local area. Now, when it comes to analytics, if you have this type of site, the best thing to do is, you know, when you're posting your content, see the performance of it. You can use our report in Big Data Analytics, which is landing pages. So you can see what articles get the most traffic. And then from there, you have basically a proof case of what works and what doesn't work. So what I would use is those analytics numbers from your articles that do work and say, okay, Google likes this, right? Now, take a group of those articles that are working, maybe they're from different times, and then group them together, and then ask a question, why does Google like this? And then you'll probably find a similar trend in those articles. One example could be, maybe all the articles you're ranking for are specific to just your local area, but the ones you aren't ranking for and have low traffic on are not specific to your local area. So Google's saying, hey, you're great for local, but you're not great for outside local. So that could be a case of how you can use analytics. But this whole shift from, you know, going from backlink building to basically Google's EAT is the big change we're seeing in SEO. Google is going to care more and more about this as especially AI content floods the market. They want to be able to trust the source of that information. So I think focusing on your brand, the trustworthiness of your brand, your local SEO, you know, submitting your website into local businesses, getting your name out there in the local brands will help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been working with publishers for a long time, and you've been looking at analytics for a long time. And so many publishers for so long, and I think rightly so, have focused on SEO and trying to like not game the system, like try and do everything they can on the back end and Google's mm-hmm. eyes to try and get, you know, traffic, because traffic equals revenue equals yep. having a good time. But it's hard to know what to do sometimes. And there's, you know, it's like rocket science. It's always changing. Like everyone has different opinions. Then Google reveals different metrics sometimes. What do you think are some ways that you've seen publishers maybe focusing on the wrong things and focusing on the right things for metrics, for analytics, for building their site? And how can publishers move forward using maybe specific reports or specific strategies with the data to not just write for SEO, mm-hmm. but to actually write in ways of Google? Because it's hard because Google's like, we like want to make sure you're on authority, or we want to make sure that you have experience. Like, well, how do you do that? And so can you use analytics to kind of make your brand what Google wants it to be for you?
Yeah. So a lot of this will come from, let's say you're talking Google search here, right? So I'm sure most of you are familiar with Google Search Console, and some analytic metrics in there that are super important is basically looking at the difference between impressions, clicks, and click-through rate on your post in Google results. Now, one important thing to look at is, let's say you're getting the same number of impressions, so you're showing up in the results the same number of times, but less people are clicking on it, right? Then maybe you need to up your title or your clickbaitiness of your title, right? Now, let's say on the flip side, you're getting the same number of clicks, but, or let's say clicks and impressions are both dropping, and you're ranking number one, that means just less people are searching for it. So you can use analytics to A, look at relevancy of topic to see if it, basically, if something goes viral, how long it's gonna stay viral for. For news, you can see, let's say you post a content, piece of content out, and traffic dies down after 3 days, right? Yeah. Then you kind of in your head know the length of that content or how long it's gonna last on the internet. So then for your content plan, you know how much content you need to put out. And then same thing with performance, right? So using analytics, I would look at comparing two pieces of content, one that has really good engagement on the page and one that has poor engagement, making sure they're the same length of content and see, okay, why are users staying on this page for longer, but they're not on this page for not as long?
Yeah.
And what you'll find is over time, those pieces of content that have better user engagement metrics. So some metrics to look at is average engage time per visit, page views per visit, just engagement time, session duration. When those are better on an article, it means the users like it more. And when users like it more, that's a signal to Google that this is, you know, good content because the user probably trusts you. Mm-hmm. So then Google's gonna use it as a proxy for trust. And then you're gonna reap the benefits of that. Higher rankings, more traffic, right?
Yeah.
So look at the user experience metrics of your post. A lot of what's happening with SEO does start to move into the branding of things, right? Yeah. How well is your brand established? So I would look at things such as the reach of your brand, right? Do you have all your socials set up correctly? Are they all running? Are they all generating content? Are you hitting as many platforms as possible? Try to get some mentions in other reputable websites to mention your site. Basically, just as a user, I look at it and think, is this website, you know, the source of expertise? If it's really clear to see that, then you're doing a good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm hearing a lot of data-driven decisions, which is a lot. It's not as common as you might think for publishers. And kind of on that note, I wanted to hear some more thoughts that you have in your experience with this for how to use this on a day-to-day and week-to-week basis for publishers of all sizes. So I just want to kind of spend this like last few minutes here talking about maybe some of like the biggest mistakes you see publishers make when using their analytics, some like the best reports they can use. Mm-hmm. And I guess just if like publishers can take away one or two things from someone like you and your experience, what can they do when it comes to analytics and their site using Zoic Big Data Analytics and kind of finding it to be like most helpful for their day-to-day work as a publisher?
Yeah. So some final thoughts on how I'd use data. So I'll use some examples on how I use it for my websites. And my biggest advice is find a report that makes sense to you. Like, you know, you don't have to go through all the reports. Find one that makes the most sense to you.
Sure.
So for me, I love looking at rankings of new articles, right? And I can look at that under our Search Console one, or I'll look at only Google search traffic. So I'll create a custom report for that. And basically, every day or maybe, you know, 3 times a week, I will look at that report. And I will just keep looking at it. create a habit, and then I can see the performance of new articles as I post them, mm-hmm. or as an AI posts them. And then I will determine, okay, this is working, this isn't working, very fast. So if I have an article get published, within probably 5 days, 7 days, I'll know if it's working or not. And I know if I need to make edits to improve it. And I can keep doing that for all new pieces. Mm-hmm. So find one article or one report that works really well for you and that has an insight about your website. And then just keep looking at it and using it to make your content better, make your site better, make your business better. Mm. Because, you know, at the end of the day, analytics are everywhere. It's a super powerful tool, you know, with the AI wave coming in. So guess stay ahead of the curve, right? You know, it's just a part of our lives now, right? Yeah. So that's my first point, is just find a report that works really well and stick to it, and then add it to your routine and keep using it.
Are there any reports that you think publishers focus too heavily on that might not be as helpful as they think, and what some alternatives could be?
I would say the report that's not very helpful is probably, if you're a premium publisher within Zoic, is the yield reporting, which shows our app breakdown performance. It's not that helpful to your bottom line, because it just looks at what our machine learning has decided to show for your site. And sometimes, like, I don't know why top of page is performing less than under page title. But it just is, or sometimes the flip happens.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, spending a lot of time trying to figure that out isn't really worth the time. Mm. Rather, you should be looking at reports that reflect what your audience is. Understanding your audience, I think, is the biggest value in analytics. Mm. And there is like probably four main reports I go through to check this. The first one is, where do your users come from?
Like location-wise?
Yep. Okay, sure. Where do your users come from? Mm. I think it's super important. And the next one is, how do your users find you? Ooh, so are they finding you from Google search, clicking on your Pinterest post, clicking on your Facebook post? So how do they find you? Number three is, what are they using to view your content? So device, are they on their phones a lot, on a desktop? You can drill down and even see their browsers or their screen size. You can get super granular with that. And then number four is, what are they doing on your site? And that's landing pages, content, user engagement. And those four questions, if you can answer it on the fly about your user base, that shows you have a deep understanding. And then you can leverage that and be like, okay, this is what my users do when they come to my site. This is where they're coming from. I need to curate to those type of users for my content. And then you start to really get into the basics of building an audience.
Yeah.
So if you have users, let's say United States, but they're mainly Californian users, then you'll know what works better for a Californian rather than someone from a different state, for example.
Yeah. What would you say to publishers who still feel kind of intimidated by the analytics and don't really know if they're making good decisions, because it's so hard paying the bills and trying to do this day in, day out. AI is coming for content. You know, like, what would you tell publishers who are maybe kind of new and haven't ever really used eZoic's big data analytics, or feel like they just don't really know how to make the right decisions based on all the numbers flying at them?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And as someone that works with data a lot, I have to overcome this, not just with publishers, but also internally when I share things. I have to, you know, make it make sense to that person.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, it's not as scary as it is. Yes, it's a ton of numbers, but just focus on one metric at a time. Mm-hmm. So if I look at a report, let's say landing pages, and there's be columns for metrics, just look at one column. Let's say it's visits. So how much traffic does this article get? Just focus on that, and then not the only way, anything else. Just focus on that. And then go in there maybe once a week and then look at your top articles and how much traffic they get.
Yeah.
So you can think, okay, this article gets, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, you have a dog website, it's best dog breeds. It gets 16% of your traffic. Then you'll know users are looking at this, Google likes this. And then just start off with that one single metric.
Yeah.
Then once you're comfortable with that, add another metric to your list.
Go from
there. Just start small. There's lots in there, but I don't recommend to just dive in head first and try to figure everything out. Start small, one metric at a time, take from there.
Yeah, one thing I learned as a publisher myself is I was just a writer. That's like all I thought of myself as. And I was like, I don't know about, you know, email or sales funnels or ad partners or anything. I just write good articles, right?
Yeah.
And over the years of me being a publisher, when I really saw the most success and like looking back on my like 4 or 5 years at a time, was like Since then, I've learned how to do, you know, email automations, coding for my websites, sales pitches on live webinars, all these like different tools and like connecting different tools using other tools. And I had grown so much just from being a writer to actually like being a website owner. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that publishers can do this easier with big data analytics on Ezoic.
Exactly. You can understand your audience very fast using analytics. You can understand what works extremely quickly, so you can adjust your strategy in real time. So I've worked with publishers before in the past, and they basically implement the same strategy consistently for like years on end, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about the same publisher that's the same strategy for 10 years in a row, and then all of a sudden it stops working, and they're like, I didn't change anything. What is wrong?
What happened? Yeah.
The environment changed.
Yeah. Right?
The economy changed. There's more tools. So I would say use analytics to adapt fast. We work in a very fast moving industry.
Sure do.
So then use analytics to stay ahead of the curve.
I love this conversation. There's so much more to talk about with AI coming, and every week we have new updates coming on. So We're going to end here. Terrence, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Can people find you through Ezoic, like through the blog, or like where could they kind of follow up with you about different information?
Yeah. You can follow me on LinkedIn. Just search Terrence Timmons. I also have, I don't think I have blog posts posted yet. I do some of the webinars here. So if you see my name on there, definitely hop in and check it out. Just look for my name on the interwebs.
I recommend anybody, if Terrence is doing something, follow him because he's very smart at all of this stuff. So thanks for coming on, Terrence. With that, we're going to end this week's episode of the Publisher Lab. You can find us on publisherlab.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all next week.